Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Nice to see you back again. School had a midterm break yesterday, one of those bank holidays. It's nice to be back with the Bible open before us, and we're turning to Hebrews chapter 11, of course. It's especially good to be back with the Bible before us after all the antic that took place across the world, supposedly to mark St. Patrick's Day. Well, if old Paddy could have seen what went on in his name, then he would have been very angry and would have rebuked all those foolish people who engaged in every form of sin, supposedly celebrating the life, the ministry, the witness of one who was nothing more and nothing less than a preacher of the gospel. He didn't wear the regalia, the big hats and the cloaks and all the rest of it that he is pictured as wearing, but he would have just been a humble, simple preacher of the Word of God. But then, boys and girls, and I want you to remember, the devil ever corrupt that which is to the honor of God. The birth of Christ, that's one of the most wicked seasons of the year, as far as worldly men are concerned. The police have to put on extra patrols to stop those who are supposedly celebrating the birth of Christ from killing one another by their drunkenness. Time of the Savior's resurrection, coming up soon. Likewise, man has surrounded that event by every form of corruption. And I tell you, boys and girls, you realize it's not for the Christian to get involved in these things, because to do so is to mock God and despise the truth concerning the gospel of the Lord Jesus and what it is he came into the world to achieve by his own ministry and by the ministry of those he sent out. Well, that's just a wee sermon, by the way, in light of yesterday's events, which always vexed me. And now, having got rid of that vexation, we'll turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Three verses we're going to look at, the verses 17, 18, and 19. I'm going to read them quickly. Follow, they're not too long. By faith, there's our slogan. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure, or he received him in a sense from the dead. I want to speak quickly this morning on Abraham tested. Abraham tested. To be tested by God is all part of the life of faith. To be tested by the Lord is what every Christian should expect. In life, if you're saved, there will be times you will come to a crossroad, and God will watch to see which way you will go. There will be the way of the world, apparently so pleasant, and there will be the way of obedience to God, and it might not look to human eyes quite so nice, and God will watch to see which way you will go. In our text we have the word tried. Abraham, when he was tried. That word simply means put on trial, tested. He was at a crossroads. What would he do? Men test precious metals like gold and silver, because there are items made in what is supposed to be gold and what is supposed to be silver, but they're not made of such precious metal. And you could be deceived and maybe buy one, thinking it was gold or thinking it was silver. So there needs to be a test carried out. And items made of precious metals usually have a special stamp on them that indicates they have been tested and have been found genuine. Well, here is Abraham, and he's being tested by God. And if I might put it like this, he came through the test successfully, and there was placed on him, as it were, God's stamp, saying, this is a genuine believer. As I said, trials are common for the child of God. I'll read out a couple of verses. James chapter 5, verse 11. You older ones can flick through your Bibles and find that James chapter 5, verse 11, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Then, same book, James, and it's the chapter 1 and the verse 3, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. When the Lord returns, that's when all will know who was a genuine Christian and who wasn't. Many can bluff their way through this world, persuading those around them that they're saved, but the bluffing will end when the Lord Jesus comes again. Oh, that it might be seen in your life as you face up to the trials that God often places before us and make the right decision. First and foremost, let's notice that this was a test of Abraham's love and obedience to God. What God asked Abraham here was a very hard thing. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Now, you remember the story. Abraham travelled with Isaac to the place appointed of God. It was very likely the same place as the Saviour was crucified many, many years later. Very likely the same place. For what Abraham was doing was a picture of the Son of God being offered for our salvation. But it was a big test for Abraham to be asked to offer up his son. That's what God said to him. And to do that, he had to love the Lord more than he loved Isaac. That is exactly what is required of all of us. Mark chapter 12 and the verse 30 has those wonderful words, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." This is the first commandment. God first in your life. Before yourself, before those you love and count precious, God comes first. And here, Abraham is being tested. Does he love the Lord with all his heart and with all his strength and soul, mind? Because if he does, he'll offer up Isaac. And in the story that we have in Genesis, there's no hesitation on Abraham's part. You don't hear one word of argument, but he set out and he carried out everything that was required of him right to the point where he raised the knife to kill Isaac. And God stopped him. God said, as it were, "That's far enough, Abraham. You have shown that you're ready to do what I ask, no matter how difficult." It was a test of Abraham's love and obedience to God that was set before him. Now, you will have noted already that it was a particularly severe test. I can't imagine God asking anything more difficult of Abraham than this. It would have been easier had God said, "Abraham, I want you to sacrifice yourself." Abraham would have found it easier to kill himself than to kill his son. I hope you understand that. So when God said, "I want you to sacrifice Isaac," this was a particularly severe test. Now there's something for us to learn here. God was asking Abraham to put to death his son. Abraham had a choice, obey God or spare his son and disobey God. It was God or Isaac. You know, boys and girls, it is a very common thing for mommies and daddies to put their children before God. Very common. They think that to obey God in all matters regarding their children would somehow or other be not doing the best for their children. And so they set aside what God requires of them and they do that which they think best for their children. I'll tell you a wee story. A long time ago now, way back in the late 1960s, I had just started preaching over in Listowel. Started the Free Presbyterian congregation there. And there was quite a controversy going on about us in the press because I was preaching hard against certain matters that were taking place in the churches round about. And I remember one family were attending and they had a girl who was a teenager. She was going to one of the girls' schools in Enniskillen. And then suddenly they stopped attending. and I went to see what was wrong. And the mother told me, we've decided to stop attending your church. My daughter goes to then the girls' collegiate school in Enniskillen, and going to your church brings reproach and shame upon her. And there are those who would mock her because of that. And we don't want that to happen to our child. So we're not going to go to your church. Now God required that mother and father to attend a gospel preaching church which stood for him in everything. That's what God's will was. And it didn't matter if the world mocked or not. But those parents had come to a decision that they were going to put their child before God and not obey God. You know, it was only a matter of a year or two after this that disaster overtook that family. That daughter was one of the first to be charged in connection with drug taking. And that's a long time ago, when drug taking were really not that well known an activity. You can't turn your back on God and do what you think is the best thing without suffering the consequences. And I remember that to this day because God taught me that lesson. You've got to put God first in all matters. And that's what was being asked of Abraham here. He had to put God before his son. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. That's what mums and dads have to do. Train up a child in the way he should go. Not train up a child in the way whereby later in life he'll make a pile of money. He'll be counted a wonderful person. No! Mums and dads are to train their children in the way that they should go. The way that God sets down in his word. And the promise then is, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. He'll not go astray. The word train there is a word that you'll be familiar with. It means catechize. That's what you do every Lord's Day morning. In Sunday school class, you repeat your catechism, and it's explained to you. You're being catechized, taught the way of God. And that's what God is saying here. That's how you should train your children, mums and dads. Catechize them in the ways of God. I like to think of that word meaning something like the vine dresser. Now, if you were to plant a little vine, put it in the ground, and it begins to grow. It doesn't grow up, it just collapses and would grow along the ground in the dirt like a briar. You ever see a briar? Usually attached to another shrub. And if it's growing up, it's growing up by being attached to another shrub that has the ability to grow up. Well, the vine's just like that. So the vine dresser, as the vine grows, he ties it to a frame so that it grows up and doesn't fall in the dirt. And that's the thought behind this verse. Train up a child, like the vine dresser trains up the vine. Your child will prosper and grow. Now this test was not only severe in that he had to sacrifice his son, but it was more than just severe, in that Isaac was his only begotten son of Sarah, his beloved wife. Sarah had only one, Isaac. So for Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, he knew that this would distress greatly Sarah. So as it were, there was a double suffering by Abraham at the thought of sacrificing his son. It would hurt him, but it would hurt his wife as well. I have to say that nowhere in the account do you find Sarah objecting. She didn't rush forward and say, you're not going to take Isaac and kill him. No, I don't care whether God has said it or not. You're not going to do it. You don't read that. Sarah was a good woman. She submitted to what God required alongside her husband Abraham. Oh, I tell you, boys and girls, happy is the family where mum and dad agree regarding the will of God. Happy is the family. One more point on this. It was all the more difficult for Abraham to sacrifice Isaac because God had said, that which I have promised to you, Abraham, whereby you will be a blessing to all the nations of the world, that promise will come to you through Isaac. So it appeared that by cutting off Isaac, Abraham was cutting off the possibility of enjoying all the things God had promised to him. That was a severe test. It was a test whereby Abraham was required to put his trust in the wisdom of God. Doubtless Abraham would have said, now if I do that, I'm robbing myself of everything that God has promised me. I can't understand how it is that God would require that of me. But God knows best. He is of infinite wisdom. Therefore, even though I can't see how this could work out for my good, I'm going to trust God. And that's what faith is, boys and girls. It's doing that which in man's eyes is most foolish. When the mother of Moses took her little baby, put him in a basket, pushed the basket off from the side of the river into the reed, don't you think there were plenty round about said, that woman's mad. Look at what she's doing to her baby. She's threatening its life. It'll drown. The woman's crazy. I have no doubt that would have been said. But we know that what she did was the saving of Moses and the saving of the nation of Israel. I could go through the Bible and pick out a lot of things. When Daniel went into the lion's den, there were plenty of people who said, this is most stupid. Why didn't he just agree to do what was required of him rather than defying the king and ending up being put in among the lions to be killed? This great man, he could have done so much. Oh, I can hear the argument. We know that as a result of obeying God and not doing what man wanted him to do, Daniel became a greater man than ever as a result of his obedience. I think I should mention Calvary. In Matthew chapter 16, you read of the Savior taking the disciples aside and saying, now we're going up to Jerusalem and there I'm going to be killed, crucified. But the third day I'll rise again from the dead. This I am doing in order to save my people. And immediately, Peter in particular said, this is madness. You can't do this. Because what the Savior's plan and purpose and will was to men was most stupid. But then that's how men view God's plan. That's why the Gospels laughed at, boys and girls. Because it reveals God's purpose and plan. And people think it's all silly. Why the Gospel's rejected. People think it's silly. Because the mind of man cannot understand the ways of God. And what God was proposing to Abraham may have appeared to the eyes of men. Aye, maybe even to the eyes of Abraham. It was very wrong. Very foolish. But Abraham put God first. Set aside his own thinking on the matter. Obeyed God. And we know that all things worked out for good. It says here that Abraham was able to obey, do what God required of him, because he believed that God was able to raise up Isaac from the dead. Look at that. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting, believing that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. That's what faith said. That's what Abraham reasoned out. If I kill my son, God's able to raise him up from the dead and bring to pass that which he has promised through Isaac. And so as he walked to the mountain with Isaac by his side, carrying the wood for the fire, Abraham said, I'm going to kill my son as God has commanded. I believe he'll raise him up. That was the confidence he had. That was what faith said within the heart and mind of Abraham. But we know that God halted Abraham before he killed Isaac. But in truth, what Abraham was trusting in came to pass because in Abraham's mind, Isaac was dead. He was going to kill him when he raised that knife. Isaac was dead, as far as Abraham was concerned. But God's intervention spared Isaac, and it was as if he rose from the dead. Boys and girls, God will fulfill his promise made to us, no matter how impossible in the eyes of men the fulfilling of that promise may appear. Obeying God will never rob us of God's blessing, God's joy. When I started out to be a preacher of the gospel, shortly after I was saved, I left my employment in Ulster Television, and there were many who said to me, "You're not wise, you're giving up a very good career, and you're going out in a small wee church, and it all might come to nothing." Boys and girls, I stand here 50-odd years later, and I can tell you, as God is my witness, there has been nothing but joy and peace and blessing. Despite the difficulties, despite all that has crossed my path, I stand here with my heart filled with joy. God give me the grace just to follow him. Oh, I'm no Abraham. What I did was nothing in comparison to what the great man of God did in offering his son Isaac. But the joy that he felt as a result of that, I have tasted a little bit. And you too taste the joy that comes from obeying God. Put him first, boys and girls, always. Put him first. If you're not saved today, you're not saved because you're putting yourself first. That's why you're not saved. You're listening to yourself. God says, repent and believe. But you say, no, 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 no. That means giving up the world and its joys. No, no. You're listening to yourself and it will take you to hell. Joy comes from obeying God. Trust the Savior. Let's bow and pray. Lord, bless your word today to the boys and girls. Oh, may it have a cutting edge. May it tell with them. Have an impact upon them. Grant that they may know something of that victory of faith that Abraham so wonderfully enjoyed. Bless the school. We commit it in all its ways unto thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.